Hey, Jesse.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Sorry, I'm a minute late here. I'm dealing with a insurance issue down at one of our houses in Florida. So the guy finally called me back after waiting for a few weeks on that. So,
It's all right.
but yeah, how are you doing today?
Not too bad. Dealing with a sick kid at home today, so.
Dude. That's no fun. Kind of get through this stuff. We get usually Jesse, we'll have a pretty basic welcome to the Home Service Pro Podcast. My name is Daniel Felt. I'm honored to be your host. Today we have with us Jesse Welch of Welch Home Services. Jesse, thanks for being on the call.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So tell us, Jesse, where are you located? What do you do?
So I am in Northwest Arkansas. The easiest way to think of that, if you're not good with geography, is the home of Walmart. Walmart started in Bentonville, which is just about 10 minutes south of me. So you can't throw a stone without hitting a Walmart. I'm a home inspector here in the area, and so I do every and any anything and everything that deals with home inspection, testing, all sorts of stuff, dealing with that. And then my other full-time job, I'm also a firefighter paramedic, so I stay pretty busy.
Okay. Yeah, most definitely. And what does family life look like?
Sort of the proverbial wife, three kids, two dogs, two cats, all that good fun stuff. So,
Yeah. Awesome. I love it. So tell me, how did you decide to get into home inspections? Like how'd that come along?
I think, as with a lot of people that get into anything, usually there's some sort of personal story behind it. And that's definitely true with me. So a few years ago, I lived up in Iowa. I'm originally from Iowa before moving to Arkansas. My family and I, we bought a brand new home. We were the first owners, and it was a really nice looking home. A little bit of extra detail up in Iowa. Home inspectors are not required to be licensed, certified, anything like that. And so home inspections in Iowa are not as big of a thing as they are in other states, like where I'm at right now in Arkansas. So when we purchased the home, an inspection was not recommended to us by the realtor. Nobody else ever really recommended it to us. And hindsight being 2020, we absolutely should have had one. We moved into the house, and it was within the first couple of weeks that we were noticing issues primarily with the HVAC system. The company that built it put in an electric heat system, heat pump, all that sort of stuff. And I don't know if you know much about Iowa, but when we moved in January, it was really stinking cold. There was no gas backup to the furnace. It was all electric, so it was always on emergency heat. I think our very first month of living there, our electric bill was over
Yikes.
$400. We also had serious issues with insulation and balance of the HVAC system. Our thermostat was in the upstairs of the house, and the downstairs was always cold because of that. Heat rises, so the upstairs was warmer, so the thermostat would say, "Oh, I'm up to temperature," but the downstairs would routinely be 12 to 15 degrees colder, in the downstairs area. We had issues with doors. We had issues with plumbing. We had a major, major water leak in our garage. Come to find out after the fact, one of the drains had come disconnected from the bathtub upstairs, where my daughter liked to take her hour-long showers. So you can imagine the amount of water that was leaking through that and into the sheetrock of our garage. So
Yikes.
we lived there for about a year, and we couldn't get out of there fast enough. We finally managed to sell the place, and we ended up moving down to Arkansas. And we were looking at houses down here, and down here, every time we looked at a house, they're like, "You really need to get a home inspection. You need to get a home inspection. You need to get a home inspection."
Yeah,
And
right.
so it was sort of one of those thought processes, like, I've done a lot of construction. I've been a firefighter for 20 years, so I understand a lot of safety aspects, which is a lot of what a home inspector does as well. I'm not just making sure things are working right. I'm making sure they're safe.
Right.
So I felt like I had a really good background to do it. Talked to my wife about it. And I had a little bit of time that worked out perfect from one job to another down here, where I had about a week and a half off, and that's exactly how long the class was. So it just worked out perfect. And so, lo and behold, I went through the home inspector class, and almost 2 years later, here I am.
Awesome. Yeah, that is crazy on some of that stuff. Sometimes like people get really frustrated with codes and things like that. It's like, man, I can't believe I have to go through all this stuff. But other times, it's like you look at, your situation, and Yeah, I know how cold it gets in Iowa because we're up in Minnesota. So
yeah, all right.
I believe it gets a little colder here. If I need to brag a little bit, yeah, I think we it's a little colder up here. But it's extreme. I think because Iowa's so flat, I think the winters may even be more harsh because the wind really gets you. It's the opposite of the humidity. It's the wind chill that really will bite you in Iowa.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Is it a joke in Iowa? Like you're driving and everything's flat and all of a sudden it says Iowa's highest point. And you're like, there's no way because you're on a flat road. And it's like there's a mound that's like, it goes up like a foot and everyone's like, yeah, that's the highest point in Iowa. Like it's legit
flat. Yeah. I think for a long time it was always a joke considered one of the tallest points in Iowa was actually the top of a grain elevator. But then when people got to talking about it more, like the actual highest land part, I've actually been there. It was called the Mound and it was south of I think a town called Ocheden. And they had somebody had hiked up there, which was like a 10-minute hike. And they had a whole bunch of white stones up there. And so people would go up there, like put little messages and stuff that everybody could see driving by. But, you know, compared to Arkansas, which has got, you know, the Ozark Mountains and everything else, it's an anthill compared to the stuff that I see down here in Arkansas. So it's definitely very flat. There are some parts you get closer to like the east side of the state, next to the river valley and stuff. It's a little bit more hilly, a little more, I don't know if mountainous is quite the right word, but for Iowa, mountainous.
Yeah. Like you at least get out of breath walking up the hill.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Yeah. Sounds good. Well, we'll count that. We'll count that. But yeah, there is a spot that you drive through Iowa and I think it's on a more major highway and I've never known if it's a joke or not, but it's laughable for sure that the highest point is like this mound that like maybe a gopher made. So, well, that's awesome. So Jesse, like in seeing these home inspections, like how, like if someone's listening to this and they're like, home inspections or whatever, like what are you doing to really add value to, you know, when someone's making this large investment? Like I'm a huge believer in home inspections. You know, we do routine home maintenance. Like we're all about it. Like take care of this stuff, like get it checked out by a professional. What are some things that you're seeing? Like are people, you know, is it getting worse? You know, but maybe Arkansas is way better than Iowa. There's better coding there. Like, what are you seeing that side? Is it way better than what it once was?
I do think, especially when we're talking older versus newer, some of the new build stuff, it's just, it's disappointing. It's discouraging to see some of the new builds compared to some of the older builds. Mm-hmm. You know, the house I live in, it was built in 1992. And structurally and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, there's some weird things about it, but that's just how they were done in 1992.
Right.
But you've got some of the newer homes with all the updated residential codes and, you know, electrical codes. I mean, everything, all the different codes and everything that's out there. I see more issues on new builds than I do on older homes. Mm-hmm. And it's really sort of discouraging. I just went and did a new build home inspection yesterday, actually. And I found, the dishwasher drain line was not hooked up properly. Up in the attic, there was broken engineered trusses that they were put in by the contractor that way. They were broken. They were broken during the installation, whatever. But anywho, they put them up there broken. And they just expected to sort of get by with it. You know, finding a lot of safety issues. One thing that people don't think of is fire safety stuff, you know, and being a firefighter, I look at a lot of that stuff. So one of the things I've seen in newer homes is these, you know, there's lots of different names for them, but they're essentially like a vent, an open vent above a bedroom door to allow for better airflow because the HVAC systems are so efficient and homes are so sealed up now that if you don't have an air return in like a bedroom, but you have an air supply, you're really not getting that great of airflow. So their cure to that was to put these open vents. They literally are just a vent on each side of the wall above a doorway. Well, as a firefighter, we preach to sleep with your bedroom door closed because that can keep smoke and fire and all sorts of stuff out of your bedroom when you're sleeping at night if something, heaven forbid, breaks out. And those vents completely negate that fact of sleeping with your bedroom door closed. And so anytime I see those, even though they're technically up to code, they're installed properly, everything else, I still see them as a fire safety hazard. So I note them in my report. Sure. It's between the client and the builder and whoever else to decide whether it's something to be fixed or not. But for me, that's a safety hazard. And I've explained to my clients too. I've had clients, you know, like, why is this an issue? Why are you marking this as a hazard? And so I explain it to them and they go, oh, I never really thought about that. And I go, let me show you some pictures on my phone of doors that have been involved in fires. Show you one side and then the other. The outside of it is completely black and charred, and there might be a little bit of smoke damage around the edge of the door. This is why you should sleep with your door closed, and this is why you should not have those vents above your bedroom door.
Right. Yeah, I've never thought of that, because we have that same thing in Minnesota with these newer builds, and that same thing for like ventilation and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I've never thought of it that way, but I've seen those photos of, similar to what you're talking about, of like how doors have stopped fires. I mean, it's crazy, but if oxygen is just flowing through that, like it's not going to be good. So,
right.
Yeah. Besides that, do you feel like it's, because the issue that I see with some of these houses, like they're getting so efficient that like the house almost can't breathe, and like, are they installing air exchangers or ERV, HRVs? Are they installing those where you're at?
I'm not seeing a whole lot of that. Even like the old school attic fans and whole house fans and stuff, you don't see those a whole lot anymore because they're so efficient, because they're so sealed up.
Yeah.
Moving air like that really, that large volume of air just to circulate air, you don't see that as much. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing a lot of the high efficiency furnaces, lots of heavy insulation, a lot more insulation in the attics than there used to be in homes.
Yeah.
If you see less than 12 inches of insulation in an attic down here, especially in a newer home, it's not enough.
Correct.
Because we get quite a bit of heat and everything down here. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make them as energy efficient as possible, but yeah, they don't breathe as well. And so another thing that I'm seeing once in a while is they're a little bit more prone to some mold and mildew issues if they get some moisture in them, because there's just not enough ventilation to air things out.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think what they're trying to do in Minnesota is they're installing these ERV or HRVs just to pump air into the home.
Yeah.
And, or there's just a fresh air intake, and we'll run into home. We'll find a home. We're not even inspecting homes. We're just doing the routine home maintenance, but we'll see, a fresh air intake. And if you're listening, you don't know what that is. It's just basically there's a hole in the side of your house that has a cover on it, but then a tube comes in, and a lot of times it's insulated, but then if it's right, that air will go into like a bucket as kind of the redneck way, or there's like a J or a hook in that fresh air intake. And it's just designed so that when you're running a dryer or bathroom fan, anything that's exhausting air, your range hood, as air is going out of the home, it needs a way to seep in. And that this allows that to do. And some people like clog them with like a towel.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, your house literally needs to breathe. And so it's kind of counterintuitive. Like, I understand like getting these houses super energy efficient. I'm all for it. But like we do need to allow the house to breathe. And back in the day, houses built in whatever 50s, 60s, 70s, I'd even say 80s, like there was enough inefficiencies where the air could seep in. Like,
there was a draft, always talked about drafts.
Yeah. And in my opinion, I think that's almost like better for the house. So, but I don't know. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we'll get some frustrated comments from this, but I think that houses do need to breathe. And another problem that I see is on these air exchangers is the intake on the outside of the home is clogged. And so that it's running, it's trying to suck air. And it'll actually, in Minnesota, we have a major radon problem. So it's sucking air from the concrete or the sump basket, and you're just pulling radon into your home. And that's really, really unhealthy too. And so people, it's been amazing. Like doing routine home maintenance is more than just like extending the life of your appliances and, having a home inspection done. Like, you don't know what you don't know. Like, even when I bought a new house, being a routine maintenance guy, I had a home inspection done. Like, I want to know exactly what's going on. And sure enough, like, we found a couple grand worth of stuff that was like, this isn't quite right. We asked the seller to do it, and they're like, yeah, for sure. And got it done and got it fixed and saved a lot of frustration for us down the road.
Yeah, one of the things that I actually do, so I'm part of InterNACHI as well, which is an international home inspectors association kind of thing. I pay membership dues. I get lots of continuing education training. They have lots of awesome, awesome programs out there. I take part in the buyback program that they have. So if I come inspect your home and I miss some major issue that is like catastrophic, you can submit a claim through InterNACHI and they'll actually buy your home from you. If I miss something, if I really screwed up and missed something major on your home, obviously there's quite a bit of red tape there because they're not going to just like, oh yeah, sure, we'll buy your home. But it is something that they offer. they're willing to say that, hey, this guy has been trained to the absolute best standards possible. We're going to back him up. If he screws something up, we're going to stand by it, you know. And so one of the other programs I also take part of, you know, you were talking about, you know, buying a home and just home maintenance. I'm also what is called like new home buyer friendly, or first time home buyer friendly. And so every time that somebody calls me for inspection, I always ask them if they're a first time home buyer. I get a few of them and they say, yes, yes, I am. I say, great, perfect. This is a program I take part of. Here's a couple others. And so part of that first time home buyer program is I actually bring a book with me. I mean, not just like a little pamphlet, not just to it. It is a book. It's like 80, 90 pages, maybe even more than that, of general home maintenance tips that you get, that I get from InterNACHI. I order them, and to be a part of that program, I'm supposed to give them to first-time home buyers. I give them to other people that aren't even first-time home buyers because maybe they just aren't sure about general home maintenance. And it's got anything and everything: checking your HVAC systems, how to drain your water heaters, how to replace air filters. You know, I mean, anything and everything. You know, general home maintenance kind of stuff. It's in there, and it even has some better explanation stuff on like how your HVAC works, how the air compressor works, you know, everything else. And so it's an awesome book, whether you're a first time home buyer or not. But you know, it is really nice for a first time home buyer that's never dealt with any home maintenance kind of stuff like that, to have a resource for me to offer that to them. So you know, hopefully this sounds a little bit bad, but hopefully they don't have to call me back with questions. Hopefully I've answered all of them beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Would you say, you know, talking about maintenance, like, you know, is that one of the probably the biggest issues that you're seeing, is just deferred maintenance in these in home inspections?
Yeah, all the time, especially, you know, obviously in a new home, you're not going to see that stuff. But yeah, definitely some of the older homes, and simple stuff, too. Dirty air filters all the time. I mean, you know, they're not hard to change. They're not that expensive, but they're a really important part of your HVAC system. And it's a health concern for, you know, the occupants of the home as well. Simple things like that. Water heaters that are just, they're completely full of sediment, because they've never been drained. They've never been maintained. Or somebody's like, oh, you know, I'm getting all this stuff through my water heater anytime I turn on my hot water. And it's like, well, has anybody changed the anode in it anytime recently? And they're like, well, what's an anode?
Right.
Okay. Then that answers my question. You know, a lot of it, you know, deferred maintenance in garage doors, like I said, the water heater, the HVAC, just plumbing stuff, like, oh, some of the drains have started to leak a little bit. Take it apart and reseal it, kind of thing. You know, it's not hard. It's not a big deal. But like you said earlier, you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, a lot of people aren't willing to tackle that kind of stuff, but they're also not quite sure what to do about it. So maybe they call somebody, maybe they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We, you know, up here in Minnesota, like, we're doing, you know, routine home maintenance on about 850 houses. We visit once a quarter and just take care of all this stuff. And we've had clients that move, and then, you know, and we don't know they move. And then they call us like, oh, actually, you know, when they get the reminder for their next appointment, they're saying like, oh, we actually move. You got to come do the routine maintenance here. And the nice thing is they tell us is like, when we sold our house, the home inspector said it was the most well-maintained home they've ever seen. And we're just doing this basic stuff, like draining the water heater sediment and things like that. And it's not actually that hard. But what is really hard for the typical American is to remember to do it. Like,
right.
Because everyone forgets, and it's horrible. Like, your furnace breaks down or whatever, all this stuff. And yeah, it's very interesting. So yeah, it's very healthy. I think, like, I've heard of some home inspections coming out and just doing a annual, just, you know, inspection, like a mini inspection for, like, you know, 2/3 the price or half the price of a typical one. And it seems like, you don't know what you don't know as a typical homeowner living in your house. And yeah, the potential of mold or things like that. I've heard of dogs being trained in to sniff out mold, you know, recently. So all kinds of different things. So definitely important to have that done. So are you seeing anything in your, you know, from being a paramedic and a firefighter, like, are you seeing any, like, is there any, like, you know, transitioning or, you know, crossover in those occupations? Like, as a firefighter, are you seeing things you're like, man, if they would have done this different, like, this totally would have been just fine. Like, have those, has one helped you become better at the other?
So I think being a firefighter, I've been doing it for almost 20 years. So I've done a lot of studying of building construction and, to just sort of framing and understand how houses are laid out, different things like that, because that's one thing I worry about as a firefighter is, how old is this house? Do I have to worry about it collapsing on me if it's on fire, And you even learn just by looking at the outside of the home, you can usually tell like, okay, this is going to be the kitchen. This is going to be the bedrooms over here. This is going to be like the dining room over here kind of thing. We train a lot on that kind of stuff to be able to recognize those things before we even go into a house to sort of get a mental picture of the layout. Mm-hmm. So doing that for such a long time, I think has really helped me, especially on the construction side of things, understanding layouts, understanding how things really should be built to make sure they're safe. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I see a lot on home inspections that, again, people don't think about is automatic closing garage doors. It's the walk-in doors. And anytime I don't see that on a home inspection, I note it. I don't make a big deal of it because so many homes don't have it, but I still note it. Like, it's not hard to put in a self-closing spring hinge on a door, mm-hmm. And what happens if you've been driving your car for hours, especially in the summer Arkansas heat, you park it in your garage, it overheats, it catches fire, and you came in through the garage with your hands full of stuff and you forgot to shut that door. Now all that stuff is going to come into your house because that firewall between the garage and the house is broken.
Right.
If you'd have spent 10, 15 bucks on a spring hinge on the garage door, it would have closed itself and the fire would be contained to the garage and you'd have a lot more time to get out. Mm-hmm. So definitely it's helped me a lot with those safety aspects. I'm always checking smoke detectors. I'm always checking CO detectors. So definitely being in the fire department, being a paramedic and everything for a long time, I'm always looking at the safety issues. Those are usually some of my biggest things, because home inspectors aren't code inspectors,
right?
A lot of home inspectors get wrapped up in code, and it's like, the code is a good reference for me, mm-hmm. but like, I don't state code in any of my reports because I'm not a code inspector.
Sure.
So I'm looking for the stuff that makes sense, the things that just, aren't right, the things that are unsafe, things like that. One thing I found on a new build I did yesterday was the kitchen sink. The hot and cold, I labeled it as reversed because it was one of those that has the single handle on a side of it. So what I like to see is where the hot is actually up. So if you can imagine, you're standing at the kitchen sink, you've got your faucet control on the right side of it, and it's you pull it sort of down or out to turn it on, and then you rotate it forwards or backwards to get hot or cold. Especially if you have kids and it pulls forward and that's where you're getting hot water, you run the risk of a kid scalding themselves on the hot water, because kids are more susceptible to scalds than you or I are as adults, because their skin is more sensitive. So anytime I see that, I always label it as a hot cold reversal on the sink. The hot should be up, because if especially a small kid is going to reach up and grab that faucet, they're going to pull it towards them because that's what's easiest to do. Mm-hmm. So what are they going to get? They're going to get hot water. If you switch them around, they're going to get cold water. They can't hurt themselves. Sure, maybe it's up to code. Maybe it was installed per manufacturer's recommendations, but hey, it's still a safety concern. You can make a change and you don't have to worry about your kid burning themselves on the faucet.
Right. Yeah. Bringing that common sense approach I feel like that's what makes or breaks like a really good home inspector. It's like, you got to just bring common sense into this. And like you're saying, like, is it safe or not? Like, is your house deteriorating faster than it needs to because of this? And like you said, like, sometimes code is outdated or not correct or just not common sense. So,
well, and then there's so many code variations, because you have the national codes, you have state codes, and then you can have authority having jurisdiction codes, the local cities. And so, if the national code is at the 2020 level, but the city hasn't adopted the code since 2014 or 15, it doesn't really matter, So, codes are there as a great resource, but in my opinion, they aren't necessarily the end all be all. I see them as sort of the bare minimum. Just because I go, and I say that all the time to people that are asking for new builds to be inspected, they're like, well, a city code inspector came out and said everything was good. Okay, yeah, I get that. But what, you know, what year of codes are they going off of, you know, everything else? What are some things that maybe they don't enforce here in the city that are actually in national codes? Because ultimately the city, this authority having jurisdiction, is the end all be all, you know, they've got the final say.
Right.
But, you know, there's a new home that was built just less than a quarter mile from me. And every time I drive by it, it just drives me nuts. The area that I live in is Bella Vista, Arkansas. It's more of a retirement community, lots of golf courses. We have private POA lakes, all sorts of stuff. But it's very, very hilly, curvy. I mean, basically they built the roads on like deer trails through the woods.
Sure.
And so lots of homes are built with on sloped lots, sloped yards, everything else. And there's this new home that they built and it just, I can't stand it. And I don't think they had a home inspection done because right. of this one thing I see every time I drive by. I drive by it and you look up the hill at this house and you can see one of the exterior faucet spigots okay. or, you know, your hose bib, right?
Yep.
That thing has to be like 12 feet off the ground.
Oh, sure.
Like, yeah, sure. Was it built to code? Is it installed per manufacturer's recommendations? Absolutely. But do you really want to have to get out a 12-foot stepladder just to right. hook up your hose to gardens, you know, to water your garden?
Yeah.
It drives me bonkers.
Yikes. Yeah. It's like someone wasn't communicating here on something like, someone didn't get the blueprint. So.
Yeah. And it's like we have pretty big crawl spaces because we're built on such hills. Sure. You know, we get these crawl spaces that are really big on one end of the home and then they get smaller. Mm. So it's like, I know looking at this house, I mean, it's got like probably 8 or 10 CMUs, the cinder blocks worth of crawl space on that side of the home. It's built so high up above the hill. Like there would have been plenty of room to run some copper pipe down closer right. to the level of the ground so somebody could actually access that spigot. So right. as far as I'm concerned, it's not usable.
Right.
You know, common sense. Why would you put something up that high?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think my only assumption is that there just wasn't communication on the blueprints or the general contractor didn't quite communicate very well on that. So.
And they probably didn't have a home inspection because I would like to think if a home inspector saw that, like, hey, this ain't right. This should probably move lower.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Huh. So Jesse, what are your plans for the company? Like, are you wanting to stay, you know, is it something that you enjoy running as a, you know, solopreneur? Do you have a team? Like, what's kind of the long-term plan for the company?
So right now it's just a solo operation. My wife, she helps me with some of the scheduling stuff. You know, if I'm busy at the fire department, she'll take some phone calls for me, you know, and try and answer some questions, take some notes down for me and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Right now I'm busy enough to where it's keeping me busy. You know, I'm making money. I'm getting busier. But I don't have any real big plans to start hiring somebody else at this moment.
Sure.
I've talked to one of the guys that I work with. I had actually a really big mold test for a multi-unit apartment complex last week. And I basically just hired him, you know, gave him, you know, $20 an hour, just come down and help me move equipment around.
Sure.
But yeah, other than something like that, I really don't see growing too big right now. And part of that is the area I'm in is sort of saturated with home inspectors too. So, if I'm busy, somebody else is going to get to it. Do I like the business? Yeah, absolutely. But there's been a few times where somebody calls me like, hey, I know this is the last minute, but I've got to have a home inspection on this day. Listen, I'm at work at the fire department. I can't help you with that. But I know this guy, like he has really good reviews. And so there's been a couple of other home inspectors in the area that I've worked with. You know, I forwarded some business to those guys just because, you know, I can't help you, but I still want to help you kind of thing.
Right.
You know, there's one guy that I typically work with a little more than others because I've talked to him at some of, you know, the local business networking things. And so I trust him. So I'm sort of putting my name with his, you know, because if I recommend a bad guy, then I'm going to get a bad recommendation too. But as far as growing, I don't have any real plans on that right now. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I wouldn't if I got busy enough. You know, maybe 5-year plan down the road might be something that I could look into.
Sure.
Right now it's just sort of my other full-time job alongside the fire department. And between the two, I stay plenty busy.
Sure. Well, that's good. Awesome. Well, Jesse, yeah, as we kind of wrap up here, you know, if people are wanting to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
So you can go to my website, welchhomeservices.org. All of my contact stuff is right there. Email, phone call, text, whatever is easiest for anybody and everybody. I deal with all sorts of clientele, whether it's elderly that likes to talk to somebody on the phone, whether it's somebody that's a little bit younger and they just want to text back and forth. You can do it all. So everything is right there on my website, welchhomeservices.org. Email jwelch@welchhomeservices.org. And then my phone number is right down there too. I serve pretty much anywhere in Northwest Arkansas and Southwest Missouri. So
awesome. Well, Jesse, thanks for taking the time to jump on the podcast today. It's obvious that I think, taking that common sense approach, that safety first approach, all those things is working out really well for you. So appreciate you telling us a little bit about your story and how you're rocking the home service space. So we'll have this podcast out very soon. Jesse, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.